I had every intention of continuing on in Galatians. And then I thought, well, I just, some things came up, and I thought, well, and you can guess what they were. And I give you three guesses only. The first two don't count. But anyway, a little off topic, I guess. And I thought, well, I'll just say a few words. And then the more I thought about it, the more it came up. I'm going to speak again on Martin Luther King Day, an American disgrace. You know, I'm getting tired of it. And I'm sure some folks won't understand and they won't like it. They're all striped rags up here. You know, I go into Williston and there are all these flags up and it says Martin Luther King Parade at 10 a.m. Prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 5 and verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. My dependence isn't upon this nation or this country, and I'm thankful it's not. And all the problems isn't because of the country, it's because of people. But I just stop and I think about it a little bit. And, you know, Monday, once again, this abomination. Folks want to wave their flag of abortion, right? The flag of military aggression, right? The flag of sodomy, right? They wonder why I say it ain't my flag, it ain't my country. We imprison more people than any place else in the world. And it's increasingly becoming a flag of Christian persecution. And I just get tired of it. So according to this country, tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day. The 19th is Lee's birthday, a godly Christian man. The 21st is Stonewall Jackson's birthday, a godly Christian man. People we can honor, we can think of, and the Lord tells us to reflect on those sorts of things. 20th was my grandpa's birthday. He was a fairly godly man too, I think. And as a side note, and I'll say more about it tomorrow, and I realize it's probably difficult for probably everybody else except Diane and I, but Friday the 19th, they're rededicating that statue of Old Joe there in Rochelle Cemetery, there where Nicanoke were. And the one that powers to be tore down there in Gainesville. This man that they're honoring on Monday, by the words of his own associates, not just the FBI, and I'm not a big fan of the FBI, and you know, what they do and how they treat folks, but what they gathered on him was true. And his own associates acknowledge that this man, and in light of all that's going on today, you know, this, what, Me Too movement stuff. The man was a whoremonger, and beyond that, he was an abuser of women. The day he died, he knocked a woman across the bed. What's wrong with this country? He was a lying thief. He was a plagiarizer. His doctoral thesis was plagiarized. His I Have a Dream speech was stolen. He was trained at communist schools, training camps. He associated with communist. He employed communists, and even when it came to light, and the President of the United States and the Attorney General approached him about it, he said he would fire those folks, but he continued to employ them secretly. He was a false prophet that proclaimed his own dream and yet denied the very fundamentals of the Christian faith. And a couple notes on that. One brother wrote an article this week. Just mention a couple things from there, and some of them I've touched on. Dr. Don Boyce said Martin Luther King Jr. should be scorned for his sexual and physical abuse of women. I have a copy of an AP article with the heading FBI and Abernathy say King was a sexually obsessed tomcat. Of course, Abernathy was one of his closest associates. Following with a graphic description of King's last night on earth, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. spent parts of the night before his assassination with two women and then fought physically with a third, according to the memoirs of the Reverend Ralph David Abernathy, King's top aide. Goes on to condense Abernathy's speech and says, I have been to the mountaintop speech. It seems that King went to the mountaintop and he and a male friend went to the home of a friend of King's. Abernathy is quoted as saying that Martin and his female friend came out of the bedroom after 1 a.m. Then King and his male friend returned to the Lorraine Hotel, where King got together with a black woman, member of the Kentucky legislature, with whom King had a close relationship. Abernathy admitted that King did not return to the hotel room that they shared until 7 the next morning. That was about 7 hours before he was shot. Since the morning of the day of King's death, he asked his best friend Abernathy to settle a dispute between himself and another woman whom Martin knew well, who had come looking for King earlier that night. Evidently, Abernathy was not very successful in dispute resolution because King shouted at the woman and knocked her across the bed, according to King's best friend. So, man, they're all honoring tomorrow. We wonder what's wrong with this country. We wonder what's wrong with the black community. A few of them have their eyes open. As long as they continue to honor a man like this, what do you expect? Assistant Director of the FBI, Charles D. Brennan, wrote a letter to Senator John P. East of North Carolina stating King's activities consisted of, quote, orgastic and adulterous escapades, some of which indicated that King could be bestial in his sexual abuse of women. Again, I'm not a fan of the FBI and what they do, what they accomplish, but what they gathered on him is what he did. They bugged King's room. They found that he had affairs with many married women. Says in an incident in New York City, King got drunk and asked a young female civil rights worker to satisfy his weird sexual taste. When she refused, he threatened to jump from the skyscraper window. She changed her mind and satisfied the reverend. As early files that were released from the National Archives surrounding Kennedy's death has some information, quote, as early as January 1964, King engaged in another two-day drunken sex orgy in Washington, D.C. Many of those present engaged in sexual acts, natural as well as unnatural, for the entertainment of onlookers. When one of the females shied away from engaging in an unnatural act, King discussed how she was to be taught and initiated in this respect. And what was King's excuse? To besmirch every other black preacher in the country. This was reported to the London Daily Mail on January 17, 27. sleeping with the female members of, was the norm rather than the exception, and King himself admitted that he didn't know a single black preacher who was chaste. That's an incredible insult to every black preacher, says Brother Boyce, including some of my good friends. David Garrow, who was an adoring author, leftist author, friendly King biographer, wrote and revealed to USA Today that he, King, explained it as something, as someone on the road 27 days a month and needing sex as a form of anxiety reduction and for emotional solace. That's the man that they want to honor tomorrow. But what makes me even more sick, and I see folks who are supposed to be nominally conservative or libertarian or whatever, they'll write articles and they'll log in. Say, well, what did he accomplish? Think about what he accomplished. He just accomplished the bigger growing of government. You know, if he was actually helping his people and lending toward their freedom, but he managed to get the federal government to make more laws and impose more restriction on everybody's liberty. I don't see how folks laud what he did. One fellow I read this week, it's just ABC. He's a nominally conservative black commentator. He's a Trumpster. He's an evangelical Christian, a neocon, you know, the typical. He wrote, "Let's restore Reverend to Martin Luther King's name." He said, "The Reverend Martin Luther King's birthday is here. I try not to refer to him as Dr. Martin Luther King because it does not reflect his ministry, nor his calling. His doctoral degree was confirmed by man," after he plagiarized. He doesn't say that. I do. His reverend status was called by God and recognized by man. But I never call him a reverend. There's only one person in all of Scripture that is ever called reverend, and it wasn't Michael Luther King. And it certainly wasn't this guy behind the pulpit. Psalm 111:9 says this, "He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name." I don't let people get away with trying to call me that. Because I'm not. He's reverend. But this fellow's upset, and we want to remember, you know, King's calling. He goes on, says he noticed that Reverend was dropped and Doctor remained. And then this guy just goes off in left field. I touch on it a little bit. He talks about civil rights leaders through history and their Christian background, like Reverend John Brown, a murderer, Minister Harriet Beecher Stowe, the author of Uncle Tom's Cabin. You know, these folks are good Christians. The Reverend Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Louis Faircan, talks about Nat Turner, who was a murderer. He goes on, and this guy's supposed to be nominally a conservative. He goes on and says, "We memorialize this historical figure. Let us also recognize what fueled his achievement. It was his knowledge. It was not his knowledge achieved in schools. It was his calling, inspired by God the Almighty, and led by the Holy Spirit." That's blasphemy. It was not his doctoral degree given by man. It was his spiritual leadership given by God. What kind of leadership? And he goes on to talk about the Reverend Henry Beecher, who. You know, you've heard of Beecher Bibles. They were Sharp's rifles that he used to foment the trouble out in Kansas and so forth. He says, "The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. was a preacher who saw an ungodly sickness in America. He recognized America could not continue successfully outside the will of God. He says, during the King holiday, let's honor him by honoring his ministry. Folks, this is a sick country. And that's why I won't wrap myself in that flag. I'm going to tell you, I can't think of anything that would cause me to want to do that. Oh, yeah. And in case people forgot, you know, the great conservative hero, Ronald Reagan, is the one that signed this holiday into law. Oh, yeah. That explains why the country's in the shape that it's in, and again, why the black community's in the shape it's in, and it's sad. Some folks have had their eyes open. Some people. White, black, whatever. I think I may have shared this one time several years ago, but a young black lady wrote. And she said, I'm black. There are some things I'm glad about as a black person. And she talks about some of the things that Martin Luther King accomplished, and again, anything that grows government's not a good thing. Government should be out of the business of segregation and integration. We should be allowed to live in freedom. But she goes on, she says, Martin Luther King Jr. had a part in bringing these things about, but I'm not defined by my color, though there are those that would choose to define me so. I'm defined by who my father is. I'm a blood-bought, born-again, sanctified, walking with the Lord, child of God. That's who I am. If there be any good thing that springs forth from my life, it comes from Jesus Christ, my sin-bearer, my Savior, my Master. And then she relates, early this year, my little sister, and that was back in 1998, my little sister asked me to look up some stuff on the net for a paper she was doing on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Imagine kids that actually wrote the truth about him and turned it in at school. Can you imagine what would happen? But anyway, she says she was helping her little sister. She said, the Lord put a thought in my mind. Did this man ever testify of me? I thought to myself, the world loves this man. If he was preaching the gospel, the world would have hated him. I started looking up Martin Luther King's writings. As I read, I realized that he was a stranger, a foreigner to me. Whenever he mentioned Jesus, it was along with mere mortals like Socrates or Gandhi. In his jailhouse letter, King lumped all religions into the same class. I could not find one sermon where he preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. What I saw is that this man preached a social gospel using black churches as his springboard. And she goes on and she says, after several hours of reading him on the net, I told my husband that this man is not our brother in Christ. Someone who called himself reverent and preached in churches was obviously not saved. And that the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. was nothing short of a heretic. You can read his writings, plagiarized, though a lot of them were. We've been studying through Galatians. We're here to the section now. We get chapter 4. God sent forth his son. Martin Luther King denied the unique sonship of Jesus Christ. Martin Luther King denied the virgin birth. He denied the resurrection. And he denied any supernatural plan of salvation. And as the young lady noted, he just equated Christianity with everything else. I read or where did I see recently some fellow, some you know, people take and twist scriptures. They're trying to argue that, that rabbi that writes the paper I saw this morning. He was talking about, you know, that, some people look at Christianity as exclusive, like, because Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me, and there's no other name under heaven. But he said, but, you know, if you read around, you see where it's more inclusive. Like when the Lord said, in my Father's house are many mansions, which meant that there's all kind of ways to get there. How could that verse even be applied that way? And yet people are happy. In my Father's house are many mansions, which I guess it means there's a, must be a Muslim mansion and a Hindu mansion and a Christian mansion. And where in the world does that come from? Well, that's the kind of thoughts that Martin Luther King had. And America indeed does call evil good. I mean, he's going to be lauded tomorrow. And woe be unto you if you raise any kind of objection. On the other hand, I don't have time to get into details there, but as I noted, Thursday, I think it is. Maybe it's Friday. Friday, I guess, is the birthday of Robert E. Lee. Yeah. He was born January 19th, 1807. He was a genuine Christian gentleman. It really, you can't, there's no dirt out there. I mean, folks try to make up stuff now and whatever, but there's none there. I always reflect upon the words of James Robertson, and I have this hanging up on my wall usually. But he said, in the pantheon of American soldiers, none stands taller than Generals Robert Edward Lee and Thomas Jonathan Stonewall Jackson. They now seem larger than life. When considering Lee and Jackson, eyes seem to lift. So does the mind. The very words those men used, gentlemen, duty, valor, and honor, have a quaint sound in these times because they have become unfamiliar terms. People who say that Lee and Jackson did not really exist make that statement because no one like them exists now. And we're the poor for it. And as long as we keep honoring and lauding men like Martin Luther King, we're not going to see men like that. General Lee was informed that his chaplains were praying for him. Tears streamed down his face. And he replied, I sincerely thank you for that. And I can only say that I am a poor sinner trusting in Christ alone. And that I need all the prayers you can offer for me. Martin Luther King never gave that kind of testimony. And brother, that's the only one that matters. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, said Paul. He said, my chief concern is to try to be a humble, earnest Christian. Lee didn't doubt the book, question what it taught about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lee said, the Bible is a book in comparison with which all others are of minor importance, in which, in all my perplexities and distresses, has never failed to give me light and strength. General Lee trusted in a sovereign God. He said, at present, I am not concerned with results. God's will ought to be our aim. And I'm quite contented that his designs should be accomplished and not mine. Lee was a man of great and abiding faith in Jesus Christ. In the orders he wrote to his soldiers on a fast day in August of 1863, he said, "Soldiers, we have sinned against Almighty God. We have forgotten his signal mercies and have cultivated a revengeful, haughty, and boastful spirit. We have not remembered that the defenders of a just cause should be pure in his eyes, and that our times are in his hands. And we have relied too much on our own arms for the achievement of our independence. God is our only refuge and strength. Let us humble ourselves before him. Let us confess our many sins and beseech him to give us a higher courage, a pure patriotism, and a more determined will, that he will convert the hearts of our enemies. He will hasten the time when war, with its many sorrows and sufferings, shall cease, and that he will give us a name and a place among the nations of the earth." And yet, increasingly, a man like Robert E. Lee is portrayed as an evil traitor. They're tearing down statues all around the country and erecting statues to men like Martin Luther King. Increasingly, just look around a little bit, what's going on. America calls good evil. America embraces evil. May God protect his people. May God have mercy on us. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them. Let's take our hymnals this morning. Turn to page number 71. Redeemed. Redeemed by what? The blood of the Lamb. And by nothing else. We'll stand as we sing this closing hymn, number 71. Redeemed. I cannot be silent.
song. Renee, 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 by the blood of the Lamb. Renee, Renee, His child and forever I am. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in His law delight. Footsteps and giving me songs in the night. Renee, 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 by the blood of the Lamb. Renee, Renee, His child and forever I am.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather as your people. Father, we thank you for the truths contained in your word. Father, we thank you for those who came before us and soon used the past your truths onto us. Oh, we pray for mercy, for strength, for courage to stand in these dark ages in which we live. Lord, the thing called America has turned its back today. Lord, it appears to us to be broken beyond any recovery. Continually calling good evil and evil good. Lord, I pray that you might help us to keep our trust in that. Not in men, not in government, but help us to be witnesses and testimonies, to be beacons of truth, to speak the truth even when it may not be well received. But we thank you that you are a sovereign God, that you rule and reign in the affairs of men. General Lee said our desire should be that your will be done, and we know it will. Father, we pray that your grace might keep us faithful through it all. Your grace might bring us to the end. Thank you, Lord, for your love that spans eternity. Our Savior that came to save his own. Came to save those that you've opened their eyes to see what rotten sinners they are. Paul said, could say Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners. General Lee could say, I'm just a poor sinner trusting in Christ alone for salvation. We know that that's not the thought of natural man. It doesn't come from the heart of natural man. Father, we thank you that you gave us life. That you opened our eyes. You gave us the faith of Christ that we might embrace the gospel of our salvation.
Father, for each one host, as we go out, use us to your glory. We pray in Jesus' precious name.